When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HD, Rudraneel Sengupta. We shift our gaze from the Indian Premier League to the English Premier League for this episode. And this is quite an apt time to do so because EPL has just witnessed four crazy weeks of football and is currently on an international break. Also, what should have been the summer transfer window closed alongside this break, which means that we more or less know the constitution of the 20 EPL teams for the rest of this long season. Rudra, I know we have a lot to talk about, from transfers to upsets to the rise of Calvert-Lewin. So let's get on with it. Where would you like to begin? The show is yours to start with.
I would like to... Thank you. I would like to begin by saying that, our freedom of talking about whatever sport catches our fancy that week is going to be severely curtailed because our colleagues Dhiman Sarkar and Bhargav Sharma have started their own podcast. And
that's right.
Entirely on football. It's called Kicks for Free. And anybody listening into this and you like football, you should go over there and listen to them talk because they really know their stuff. They are football fanatics.
Absolutely.
And they'll go deep into it. Their first episode is, of course, about something that rarely gets talked about, which is that the beginning of sport in India, of professional sports in India, is actually happening right now with the start of the second division of I-League. It's the first professional sporting event to actually restart in India. And that's what their podcast is about. And I'll be looking forward to that. Okay, so that's that. That's the plug. But to return to what you're talking about, yes, this weekend was quite crazy, wasn't it? I mean, what was happening?
So much fun.
Insane results. Yeah, so much fun. No doubt. I mean, Liverpool going down by 7 goals. United going down by 6 goals, maybe that was inevitable. It was going to happen at some point or the other. People like Wally Atkins and Jack Grealish making people like Virgil van Dijk look like amateurs. Incredible stuff. To make a point here quickly, is that the Liverpool game, of course, it seemed a bit like something that's not, we're not going to see very often. It's a bit of a freak thing. I mean, all power to Aston Villa, and I feel really sad for Aston Villa fans who could not be at the stadium to watch their team take down Liverpool the way they did. But this was Liverpool trying to play their high line, trying to play their extremely risky defensive system without the benefit of having proper preseason. And that for the defenses, I think, is probably a little bit more important than it is for anywhere else, because the defense has to be very, very tightly knit. They really need to understand each other and work together in tandem as a team, know each other's positionings, especially if you're going to hold a high line. And that is drilled during the preseason. And that's not something that they had. The other thing they missed, of course, was Alisson, their goalkeeper. And we all saw what a poor night Adrian had. Very, very difficult for him to get into that slot and maintain. And the goalkeeper, again, is very important for a high defense line because he's going to kind of orchestrate from the back, start things off. And in fact, the first goal was all his fault. He mispassed. Grealish got the ball, cut it to Watkins, who scored the goal. So the Liverpool thing was a bit of a freak show. And when Alisson is back, and when they have had a chance in this break to work out things a little better, to re-strategize and regroup, I don't think we're going to see results like that again.
Yeah, and you could see it on Jurgen Klopp's face also. Like, he didn't look angry or miffed with his players. He actually had a big smile on his face, when the match ended. And he simply couldn't believe what he had witnessed himself. And, you know, Sadio Mane also wasn't around, just to be fair. And, you know, Diego Jota, as well as he did last season, is new to the Liverpool setup. And, you know, he will only, you know, get better from here on. Very long way to go. It was fabulous on the point that you brought up on Bhargav and Diman's podcast. Yeah, please do listen to it, guys, because they're proper football guys, both of them. I just want to say very quickly that Bhargav and I have been involved in an FPL league that we created in Hindustan Times. Bhargav was running away with it for a really, really long time. I mean, for 3 out of the 4 weeks, right? Because 4 weeks have been played so far. And because of all the crazy upsets last week, I've reeled him into within 20 points. So I'm really proud of myself. Yeah. Poor fellow. He was running away with it. Now he's in third place. I've climbed all the way up to fourth. And I also think a lot of that, my picks in the FPL come from the fact that I've totally been unburdened in this football season, in this English Premier League season, because, you know, I honestly don't care about following a single club, right?
Yep.
Which is ensured that I can very happily like back any underdog when they're playing the big team. And it has been so much fun. One of the underdogs that I was supporting and I thought I could never support way back in the day when I liked Chelsea was Manchester United. And that really brings me to my next point, because they were the underdog team against, you know, Tottenham Hotspur, and Mourinho's side most certainly treated his old club, his former club, as the underdog team. What's gone wrong there? And, you know, why are they so shaky? I know United fans are basically saying that, you know, my club's in shambles. And when I mean mine, I mean theirs. What's been going on?
Well, I mean, I think the United fans are right. Their club is in shambles. They really are. They don't have the manpower. They've not had the manpower for a long time. They've not bought well. They've ended this transfer season as well without really doing anything great. They've got Edinson Cavani right on
That's not a guy you sign on when you're trying to rebuild a team.
It makes no sense, but that's who they have. Their defense, I mean, again, 6-1 scoreline, maybe a little harsh. Considering Harry Maguire had a terrible day and he's not a terrible defender, right? So that was just maybe one of his off days, but that's not how he is. But overall, I don't see this defense working very well together. And, you know, when Bruno Fernandes came in for a brief while, you had this, like, you know, live wire in the midfield who could do anything, which a lot of these, you know, slightly built Portuguese players are like. But that only runs its course, basically. I mean, if you have just one player who can do that and others around him can't match up, then it's hard. And United really need to work on that back line, but they haven't bought anybody. So they are in shambles. I don't see them doing much better than this. They're going to finish maybe in the top six or so, but that's about it.
Yeah, fair enough. It was a great watch though, right? I mean, totally part of, you know, the weekend that kind of like really brought this Premier League to life. What were some of the other matches that stood out for you this weekend? Right from, you know, when Chelsea somehow managed to get their act together after what they had done against West Bromwich Albion the previous week, where they went down 3-0. That's another team. Frank Lampard's team is one that is totally not settled. He doesn't know who his best players are. You can see it with some of his crazy signings this season. And, you know, the fact that he's not playing most of them, except Timo Werner, who's not scoring. And they went down 3-0 against West Brom, managed to like reel them back in, you know, make it 3-3 by the time that finished. But it was a far stronger performance this weekend after their 0-0 showing by halftime against Crystal Palace. You know, they eventually went on to win 4-0. So, you know, it's still very shaky by a lot of the teams that we think.
You know, I know they're not very settled. Of course, they have a lot of new players coming in. But from point of view, it looks like they've got a really exciting set of new players who, when you give them a little bit of time, are going to work brilliantly together. What's your take on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we saw what Kai Havertz and Timo Werner can do together. Neither of them scored against Palace, but, you know, a lot of people think that Timo Werner will basically be better in a situation where the team's not sitting back so deep. Right, as Palace most certainly do. They think he's also being kind of, you know, played out of place right now by Lampard. He's being played more as a winger when he should be in the hole. They'll all eventually fall in place. But exciting talents, yeah, most certainly. Havertz, who was brought in from Leverkusen, was someone that Lampard wanted for a very long time. And, you know, see, this is also a Chelsea that could make no new signings last season because of the transfer ban. And they ended up doing so well by giving the academy players, the Chelsea youth players, a go. And all of them really shone, right? Like Tammy Abraham, Reece James at right back in the wing position. Who else? A bunch of players who came after Ruben Loftus-Cheek, Mason Mount, for example. And it just looked great. But it also meant that not just the owners, but Chelsea's fans also gave, you know, Roman Abramovich, you know, that longer rope, and Lampard that longer rope to fail and to kind of figure things out with those academy guys. But this time, after having spent whatever he spent, like half a billion pounds, he's not going to be given that rope. So it's time for him to get his act together very quickly.
Yeah, that's always the trade-off, right? The pressure that comes with buying players the way he has bought them. But talking about academy players, I want to go back to that Aston Villa-Liverpool game because I wanted to talk about Ollie Watkins, who scored two.
Yeah.
You know, it's an incredible story. He's 24 years old and he's a man who's really come up through the lowest of the lowest rungs of, you know, of English football. And that just shows you the importance of having a good grassroots program, lots of different tiers to your football system, which are all, you know, functioning well. And that has been something that's under threat right now because of the pandemic and the disruption that it has caused. Lots of smaller clubs, lots of lower division clubs threatening to shut shop because they can't make ends meet. But Watkins started off at Exeter City's academy as a really young player. And this is a second division team, basically in the third tier. And he was he spent some of his time playing for a team called Western Supermare, which is a semi-professional village team which plays in the seventh tier of English football, right? And this is where he started really playing his football first, his competitive football, and then he started climbing the rungs and coming back to Exeter City in the second division, and now he's taking Liverpool down. It's an incredible story. I mean, I wish someone will make a movie out of this.
Yeah. There've been some incredible stories quite like his, Dominic Calvert-Lewin being, you know, the most obvious pick from this season. You know, like, no, absolute. And if we're going to talk about, you know, DCL, then we also have to talk about the rise of Everton this season, which, you know, their greatest start in 82 years, a season after Liverpool go on to their, you know, next door rivals, go on to win that first title in 30 years, for Everton to turn around and to respond this way is pretty amazing. But you could see that Carlo Ancelotti, who has pretty much won everything in club football until now, was setting his team up. And he's been doing, you know, he just, I think this weekend, was in charge of his 100th game at Everton. And, you know, that's a lot of time to be in England. It's kind of slipped under the radar a little bit, right? Yeah. You know, with the focus on people like Guardiola and Mourinho and Pochettino. And all these guys, Ancelotti's slowly been figuring his way out, you know, his way to kind of win matches in the EPL and what it takes. Last season, Richarlison had, you know, a breakthrough season, scored all those crazy goals. This season, absolutely out of nowhere, Dominic Calvert-Lewin has risen and scored his first hat-trick for Everton and then, you know, was given his chance with the team in the League Cup, scored a hat-trick there as well. I think, like, now he's given his England cap, he's going to be making his second or third appearance, if not, you know, I'm not very sure which appearance exactly, but he's going to be playing in the international break for England, and is the story of that team. A team that has also, by the way, re-signed James Rodriguez because, you know, he loves Ancelotti and Ancelotti loves him.
I thought that was a brilliant signing to get James on board. He's a fantastic player, maybe just not fast enough and just not there for absolutely the top level clubs where he's surrounded by the big stars. But in a club like Everton, my prediction is that James is going to really rock the season.
He already has. I mean, he got two goals in the, you know, over the this weekend. But you really have him around for his ability not just to score, but also to assist, right? And that's exactly what Brighton saw happening to them. But what a team that is, right? And like the thing with James is when he's on fire, and you know, he often hasn't been in the recent past, the entire team looks great. I mean, you know, he can press back, he can help his defenders out, he can link up play beautifully with his defensive midfielder. But all his action, of course, is up front. And yeah, very few people have trusted those instincts of his of late. But this is the third club that Ancelotti has taken him to after Madrid and Bayern Munich. So, you know, he really believes in this guy. And I think a lot of that is going to come through in the remainder of this season, especially with the attacking force up front.
So, you know, the season is only 10% through, and it's we've seen 144 goals scored in 38 games. What wow. you were saying. Everton's best starts since the 19th century. This has been the highest goals per game ratio in top flight English football since 1930. Just an nuts. Average of 44 goals match, and that's the highest since 1930. It is nuts. And talking about James, you know, and a manager who believes in a player, bringing him into a club, and maybe that makes a big difference. I think that's something that's going to happen with Gareth Bale at Spurs as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm
so happy to see Bale there. And I think he and Harry Kane are two players will link up really well, because they have very similar playing styles, and they hit similar speeds. They're fast, they're tall, and they're very good at poaching. You know, so I think the two of them will form a really good combination.
I'm so glad that you brought up Gareth Bale, because I was actually going to ask you if you were more excited about, Bale being reunited with Tottenham or James with Ancelotti.
It's definitely James for me, because he's more my kind of a player, the kind of, you know, a midfield live wire who orchestrates the game around him, who has a brilliant through pass. And, you know, and I've been watching him ever since he made his breakthrough at the 2014 World Cup. And it's been painful for me to see that he has not really fit into the schemes of these humongous clubs. And seeing him at Everton, which is not one of the absolute top flight clubs, and I really wish that he does well and he brings Everton all the way up. And you've actually watched him play in that 2014 World Cup live. You were in the stadium.
Yeah, I did. I totally did. And, you know, of course, like, he was one of the breakthrough stars and so much was expected of him. But as we said earlier, you know, it just didn't go too well for him after that. I mean, he didn't quite live up to his hype, at least the money spent for him. And very similar, you know, with Bale. Although Bale did come through by scoring all those ridiculous amount of goals for Madrid, he just, you know, didn't get on too well with Zinedine Zidane. And, you know, it could be argued that he did almost everything he could for Madrid at that point. You know, he scored one of the greatest Copa del Rey goals, scored one of the greatest Champions League goals against Liverpool. Everything, you know, whatever was asked of him, he did well. But he's come back now to the club where he really rose to prominence from, you know, being a left back to one of the greatest strikers in the world. Very similar stories there's James and Bale. And it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, who does better than the other. But I think they're, like you said, they're both going to do well. And the crazy thing about this episode, Rudra, is, you know, we've been talking about shocks and upsets, and, you know, that's pretty much been the theme of it. Like, you know, big guys who became underdogs and who have returned. And we haven't mentioned Leeds. It just shows how everyone else has kind of taken the Leeds story and run away with it. So there are lots of Leeds around. Ancelotti's Everton is a Leeds around. You know, Aston Villa in second place is running with the same Leeds flag. When I mean the Leeds flag, you know, the great underdog story.
Yeah,
good for all of them, I mean, man. And good for us.
When you have Marcelo Bielsa, you know, handling a team, what do you expect? Yeah, you expect some crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm saying, like, you know, it seems, what I meant was, it seems to have kind of rubbed off on a lot of these other teams as well, right? Like, I know Everton is not quite the underdog story as Leeds, but, you know, that theme is prevalent now. And look at Villa. Villa is sitting second on the table, which is as beautiful as it gets. I mean, that's how you should go into a break, and let's see what happens at the end of the international break now.
So in conclusion, let there be chaos.
Yeah, let there be chaos. Absolutely. That's the season we want. It's great for them and it's certainly fun for us to watch. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week.
This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.